It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. It's Victory Friday here in the lineup media studios. Welcome to your Friday edition of Your Blues NHL podcast, has brought to you, as always, by your friends at Innovated Companies. That's InnovatedCompanies.com. Special thanks to Randy and Stephanie Green for their continued support of the show. Whether it's residential, commercial, industrial, they got all your needs covered. A lot of laughter in the studio this morning. You cannot continue to let a guy like Rivers hit somebody like that.
Well, he wasn't wrong.
No, he's not wrong.
Poor Radek finished third in that one.
I thought he said Panger in the Olympics.
Panger, that would be hilarious. No.
Thought you'd appreciate the new.
Yeah, that was good. I noticed that. But I was like, oh, shit, finally. Kimball throwing wildly. Yeah. I've heard that 1,000 times.
I like that. We might not even need the Red Bull after hearing that now.
No, I still got it. By the way, once again, if anybody knows anybody who's a Red Bull rep who wants to get a plug on here, my name is Jamie Rivers, once again, and I fully endorse your product. I feel like it's that time of year with all the voting going on, right? Like,
yep.
My name is Jamie Rivers, and I fully endorse this product.
They should.
That was pretty good, eh? Yeah. I should do a voice for one
you
of those
You should
things.
Do some voiceovers.
Let's get into it, because I have a whole shitload of topics I want to get into. Never mind the Blues game. That's like on the back shelf right now.
I was going to say.
It was a good one, though.
Hey, you got to love when he walks in, you can hear him coming down the street talking, and then he hands me a sheet. And it starts out, some of these are going to be really, really good. I'm excited about this. I don't even know what order to start in.
It doesn't matter. Let's start with the Blues game.
Okay.
Isn't that what people want to hear,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, people want to hear. They want to hear lots of things.
Well, they want to hear about all this, for sure.
And our new celebrity over here, Kimby, since his seven-minute rant, they want him all
okay,
over.
By the way, Kimby, that was the most beautiful poetry I have ever listened to in my life, the last episode.
You've listened to it like 100 times.
Seriously, I'm not kidding you. I played it for my kids. I am not even joking, okay? Hey, Google, at my house. You know those little eggs, the Google things where you're like, it's like Alexa? I go, hey, Google, play NHL Blues podcast. And for some reason, like, fuck, she's on. Okay. Here's the most available episode.
Alexa's familiar with your work.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what I mean. Hey, Google had it. So Google was like, here's the most available episode. It's like, fuck it.
You know what, though? I liked it, but I got a little check from Mommy, give me a call.
No. Mom, give me a call.
Mom,
she just said the F word was just a little too. She lost count at about 30 or something.
Somebody said they're 30.
That was the first 2 minutes.
Hey, somebody said they turned it into a drinking game and they were hammered at the
That was incredible.
Minutes.
By the way, for Mama Kimball, okay, now she has to understand. I know she does. She's tougher than you are. So. They took on Lucky Lake at one point. You cannot fuck around with Lucky Lake.
Especially the mayor.
Only I can.
And when she's the mayor, she might be fucking this world up here right away.
Yeah, seriously.
But no, you're he goes on, and Cam Jansen's probably your biggest fan. He was loving it. But that's the other thing, too. Anytime you do something, they bring up the.
Well, because it's real.
Yeah.
It's real. Like with Kimby, you don't get that, like. What would you call that? Inflated, you know, whatever, like on steroids.
Fluff.
Yeah. You don't
There's
get
no
fluff.
Fluff. Well, hey, no, well,
I was not talking about fluffing here.
That's another show.
Holy shit. I thought, what the hell? That's isn't that the Ocho there? What's that
down
guy?
The hall to the right. We can try that one out.
But when Kimby goes on a rant like that, Like, you can just tell. And I could hear it in his voice. This is clear as I was looking at him when he did it. Like, his face got a little bit red, and he got a little more of a snarl to his face. And I'm like, oh, yeah, here comes, baby. And I've heard it, honestly, 40 times now, and every time I start to chuckle. Every single time. Especially when he calls somebody a candy-ass motherfucker. I'm like, that is about as old school as you can get right there. Candy-ass motherfucker.
And let me tell you, the hits just keep on coming because I know, and like I said, we're going to talk about the Blues first, and we'll cover some of this other stuff after, but the things that just keep happening in the NHL just keep they're teeing it up for you.
No, like, seriously,
they're getting down there, they're putting the golf ball in the tee and just letting you whack away.
They're like, Kimby, here's content, blow it up.
I just don't get the shit, man. I don't get it.
Well, what we do get is a win at home last night. I thought they, you know, from the fans' perspective, they come out flying, moving the puck really well, basically dominate the beginning of the game. Then we get a goal against on a broken play. In our and then we answer right back, which was important. And then after that, we kind of just lit it up for a while there. But a much needed win at home. I thought of all the things that happened in the game, I thought the kids showed why they're here. Jake Allen, I thought, especially at times last night, played really well, made some great saves, which was good to see, probably both for him, the team, the fans, everything. But in the end, I know they wound up getting a couple goals late, but. I thought it was a good overall game.
Well, how about let's just start with the obvious here, okay? How about we try something crazy, an experiment?
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Wait a minute. We're back on that show.
No. We're the St. Louis Blues.
Okay.
We're going to go out and we're going to sign an unrestricted free agent that we've had twice before.
Yeah.
We're going to give him 4 years at $4 million. But we know he put up 62 points last year, but we're going to put him on a checking line. How'd that work first couple games? Mm-hmm. Not very well, right?
No.
So Mike Yeo says, well, let's try him with Shannon Schwartz.
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
That worked out okay.
Right? Like, seriously, he had two regular shift goals or five-on-five goals and one power play goal from the point where he had never played before until he went to Las Vegas. At least in the National Hockey League, he had never played the point, as far as I know. But Kimby, I know this is a guy that... Not that you didn't like the signing, but you were like, yeah, we could have maybe put the money somewhere else.
Last night with what he did, to play on a top line, you have to be smart enough to get to spots where it's going to be effective to help your game out or help your line mates out. On both goals, Shen makes unbelievable plays.
Oh, no question.
Just fabulous.
No question, but he's with those guys,
that's what
right?
I'm saying.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I said. So he is – you know, it would be like Yari Curry sitting here telling you – when he played with Wayne Gretzky, he had to get to the right spot. You know,
totally.
It was like Brett Hall with Adam Oates. Holly would be in the
but
right spot.
But if you'd have put Yari Curry with Brian Skrudland,
yeah, exactly.
Would Yari Curry be Yari Curry?
No.
Right?
Yeah. JK reference.
So, you know what, though? He did. He knows. I've always said, if I'm going to get in the stick handling contest, Prawn's my guy. I'm going to him right away. I'll throw him in against anybody because the man's a magician with
he's a talented human being.
So, but he's smart enough to play there. And we'll see going forward where it gets to. But he is smart enough to play with those guys because I don't care if they're easy goals. You're still in the right spot. You got to get there. You got to think on a high level with the other guy, and that's what he did.
I like that he was able to finish.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because in the past there's been times with Perron where not just him, but I'm in my brain last night, I was like, you know what? It seems to me like he missed some opportunities before when he was here. Like the last time he came around, now he's with Berglund, and I mean, I know he's your boy. So you had two of your boys playing together. But – now, you bring up a great point with Braden Shen and with Schwartz. Like, Schwartz is just buzzing out there. He's like a little freaking hummingbird, right? Like, you know it's there, but you can't catch the goddamn thing.
Yep.
And he's on the pucks. He goes. And you get it to Braden Shen, who he can skate, he can pass, he's smart. He makes these plays.
That's the first one. Beautiful.
I watched that 7-8 times, and I was trying to explain to my boys at home. I'm like, do you see how he comes in? And just when you think he should pass it, the D slides. Yeah. Does a great job. Like, as a D man, I'm like, he timed it fucking perfect.
Yeah.
But Braden Shen, like, it's almost like he was expecting it. He comes in, holds on, and he slides, and he goes whoop right around him to Perron, who knows now, like, one, he's going to make a play. Two, I'm not just going to fly by here. I'm going to the back post like I'm told to do since I'm 11 years old.
Yep.
And he goes right to the back post. Boom. Bob's your uncle. Fucking St. Louis Blues.
That's just for Shen to do that, though. That's nice. the Blues, the way they started to where they were last night, confident. You watch them how they move the puck. So, you know, the game's going to be real quick. They're going to play a quick game. And the puck is moving everywhere. They're making beautiful passes last night. And that has your confidence level. In order to do that, your confidence has to grow to it. So that, you know, you got guys that are getting their confidence here. It was a big win for them. I don't care who they're playing against. It was a good win for them.
Well, Calgary's a good team.
They are.
They're young.
Yep.
Like, come on. That's a fast team, a big team.
The game was played quick last night. They moved the puck really well.
What I noticed a big difference is right away in the first period, and we talked about this, I don't know what freaking show, but it was right after their first or second game, and I was like, you know, their transition game seems slow. We talked about how they keep trying to force pucks up the middle of the ice and all this stuff. What I watched last night in the very first period, and it carried through almost the entire game. They had a period of time in the third where there was a little bit jumbled, and that's where Calgary kind of made a comeback. But the D in the last half year, half season, have taken the puck back traditionally and tried to go D to D to hinge to back to D, like looking for that puck possession game. And I find it's as great as they are at handling the puck, I find it gives the opposition a chance to set up in their defensive scheme. Last night, I saw a Blues defense that were getting that puck up quick. Like, it was on their stick, off their stick. Even if they went D to D, it was D to D, D up, and bam, they were gone. Like, Shen had a partial breakaway or a breakaway in the first little bit there. So, anyways, Kimby's fucking, now he's doing smoke signals.
Give me that paper.
No, you can't see it.
I want to see it because I want to see where you're going with it because what you're saying there.
I'm not saying nothing on here is anything I'm doing. Saying,
and I loved everything that you're saying about it and your truth. It the one guy is probably real lucky they won last night. The one guy playing defense last night, because he was
which one
Bartuzzo.
He was awful. Yeah. Okay, let's just say love the guy. And
so here's what I'm saying. Here's where I wanted to go with that.
He told Kimby just walked in and punched me right in the balls on my rant.
I
want
to see that. Yeah. You couldn't understand, and you should know sign language if anyone that Native American, or maybe you should have been smoke.
I just told you. I said, what are you trying to make smoke signals over there?
Are you not aware that this means Bartuzzo was awful?
I didn't know why he kept putting his big finger in the circle.
That's like, Bartuzzo was awful last night. Put that in the repertoire. Hey, Bartuzzo was awful.
He was putting his tongue in the side of his cheek. I'm like, what's he doing?
But if here's my problem last night. So he had whatever he was doing last night. Defensively, he has to be like when I'm seeing Dunn sit in the damn crowd, it bothers the shit out of me when that fifth and sixth guy are sitting there. But what the Blues are doing, I'm looking at it, every time they move the puck, it's almost, and I know the game's changed, I understand all that, but they fucking jump all the time. And Bartuzzo and a guy like that,
he jumps in the last 2 minutes of the period there.
I'm going to say,
like, holy shit.
Yeah, let's put our brakes on a little bit. If I'm the guy, say, you might not maybe jump as quick as Petro and these boys are going to jump. You might need to stay back here a little bit longer, you know?
You've got your defined roles, right, as players. And if you have two or three guys that are, we call them, you know, play jumpers, right? Yeah. Like, or you that extra guy that's joined the attack. Yeah. You can't just force feed yourself into a role. Yeah. It would be like Gretzky trying to go out and fight Ty Domi.
Correct.
Right? Like, okay, good effort, but we know you're going to get the shit beat out of you.
Yep.
Now, maybe that's extreme, okay? Because Bortuzzo skates well. He shoots well. He actually, in the past, he's had some pretty good offensive instincts. However, here's the situation. You're putting the game in the third pairing with a kid who's never played before. That doesn't know anybody. Doesn't know the system, really. Maybe a couple of days he's been around. He just got his work visa, whatever his name is. Yakubek, Jarabek.
Does he speak the language?
Arakubek. I don't know. I don't know. I'm completely botching that up right now. I think it's Jakubek, but fuck it. Yeah. Anyways, that guy,
there's not
28.
There's not an Ov on the end of it, so it's an Ek. It's Alex Trebek's kid.
Yeah. Well, okay, we'll call him Trebek.
Okay,
so Trebek and Bartuzzo are partners. You have to realize, as a defenseman at that point, that you know what? You're carrying the extra baggage that game. And it's not like the kid's a bad player. He had an awful night, unlucky night. And I think both him and Bortuzzo had a tough night with chemistry and reading plays. They didn't. The defensive zone was a mess.
Yeah.
They weren't on the same page. Guys were left open, left and right. I couldn't believe it. And then the decision-making on that play where, you know, Bortuzzo steps up with under 2 minutes left to play. I'm like, what are we doing here?
And he did it a couple. And you know, it's easy for us, Ribs, when you know, because when you're not playing the game, you're getting to watch it.
Yeah, but Kimmy, it is easy because I used to ride the pine for periods at a time after doing stupid shit like that.
But I watched him last night when a play was going on. A guy was going to the corner. He backed into the goddamn corner. And he pretty well stayed in the corner, and he could have continued to follow the guy around the net. And that was the guy that got the prime scoring chance.
It just seemed like for whatever reason. And it's a big responsibility, playing with somebody who's brand new, who may not be up to NHL caliber. We don't know. I don't know anything about this
kid. Early, you're right.
Right? So it's a big responsibility. But when you're given that big responsibility, ordinarily, you should simplify your game.
And probably become a Harold Sneps instead of a Paul Coffey.
100%.
You know, stay back, get it off the boards, and get it out, and just make sure you take care of it.
Well, and this other kid is a small, skilled player. That's what he's supposed to do. So if you're... If you're occupying that role, you're putting him in a, like, you're both putting yourselves in foreign situations.
Sure. Yep.
So, anyways, look at Bortuzzo's an element the Blues need in the lineup.
There's a point for it.
They need him in the lineup. I personally maybe would have swapped it around a little, maybe put the Trebek kid with Parayko.
Yeah.
Just because Parayko covers so much ice so fast out there that he can help out if there's a deficiency. But they got through it.
Yeah. Got to see what he looked like in an NHL.
Yeah, it sucks because I don't think it was probably a true representation.
Yeah.
You know, and I, as a coach, we'll see what happens here with Mike Yeo. But it'll be interesting to see if he puts Dunn back in the lineup and who he takes out.
Yeah.
Because if you get this kid in here now, he went -3. He only had 7 minutes of ice time. He was like, it was not a train crash. But it was certainly a Mini Cooper crash.
For sure.
Okay.
A Mini Cooper crash.
Well, you know, I'm just trying to put in perspective here.
Yeah.
Do you want to pull him out and then the kid's like, holy shit, I can't play? Or do you leave him in and now...
Yeah, but I think there's a big guy sitting on the bench there that was a big part of your defensive core last year. Done, and I don't know the reasons what's going on, why he's the man sitting there. You know, that's whatever the coaching staff's deciding to do, let him do. But I don't. He was a valuable goddamn hockey player last year for the Blues.
But you know what? He dug his own little hole here because he came to camp, and now I will say this, and I said it on this show: he looked great in the skates before camp started. He looked great.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I guess it didn't carry through, or maybe he just was too lackadaisical through it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't really know. But he did not have a great preseason. He did not have a great camp. Followed up by some okay games, but your team didn't win.
Yeah.
So it's a tough situation, and he's young, right? So you know how that works.
For sure, for sure.
The young guy gets pulled first, and like Mike Yeo was probably thinking, this is probably the least damage I can do to my lineup right now by taking a second-year player, not making an example of him, but kind of sort of giving him a message that what we're experiencing right now is not good enough. I'm okay with the move. Short term. Long term, we need this guy. He's a top four defenseman on this team.
I agree.
He has to be. And you can have a rotation of your bottom three, 5, 6, 7, and see how they fit in and see where this new kid fits in with that. Like, where does he fit in once Gunnarsson's back?
That's what I mean. So he's there right now till Gunnarsson gets back.
Yeah, I mean, are they looking to deal Gunnarsson? Right. Are they looking, like, they could deal
maybe
Gunnarsson.
Probably Bouwmeester.
Well, but they could deal Gunnarsson way easier than they could deal Bouwmeester just based on contract. Yeah. And that's a fact. And
I'm just throwing that smart-ass comment out. So.
No, I know, and I just kind of ignored it.
Let's not ignore smart-ass comments.
The Blues, to sum it all up here, the Blues had a hell of a game. Jake Allen... performed
it was,
well.
It was good for big for him because he confidence wise, big for him.
A couple of them, I was still, let's say,
you need baby steps. This man's taking
tilting my head. Like,
this man's taking a shit kicking, Riffs. Shit kicking, and right for, you know what, he has to own up to a shit kicking because, but the fans, you were two games in, and you know I wasn't here for when your the panic thing go on, but you know. The panic was going at
that was game one.
Basically, the goddamn coach is taking the brunt, and Allen's taking the brunt of this whole thing right now because we revamped the whole thing.
Yeah,
and so that's why I said it's confidence because now maybe these guys can get the hell off his back for a second here and see what goes on.
Well, he was a difference maker in that 5-on-3.
Yeah,
in the second period, a minute 36, 5-on-3 that the Flames had, which, by the way, How the fuck do you not have Matthew Tkachuk on the ice for a 5-on-3 when you had a whistle to set it up? The kid has a 4-game point streak going. He had, what, 2 points on the power play or 3 points the other night on the power play?
Peters is a different bird, though, I think.
Oh, my God. But I'm like, fuck, that's your typical overthinking the game.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, holy shit, you've got your youngest, most skilled player.
Yeah.
Gritty. So he can move all over the place on that 5-on-3. Anywhere you want him.
Yeah, I agree.
And you don't have him out there. And anyways, that's a whole other sidebar of it. But Jake Allen makes some huge saves on that penalty kill. The D do a fantastic job. I mean, it was textbook watching Steen, O'Reilly, and Petro work that 5-on-3 defensively. The next unit came out and did a real bang-up job, too, Joel Edmondson. Yeah. Let's talk about him for a second.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, Eddie. Shit, if we're going to talk about number sixes around here, huh?
I
saw that last night. It was great.
I thought you
might.
It
made my night.
I thought you might appreciate it.
I was feeling like shit, too. And then I saw that, and I was like, oh, you know what? I don't feel too bad about myself right now.
Well, just a little throw at you there.
But I think good. I think Joel Edmondson just shows you how much you need that guy.
He's a good player.
Sweet goal. That was a nice shot on that goal, wasn't it?
Fuck.
You can't put it any higher up in the bar, under the bar there. That was nice.
No, he did a great job. And, you know, I just watch him out there, and he's a lot faster than I think people realize. And he does make good decisions about jumping in the play, when to and when not to. It's funny how that works, right? Like, when he jumps in the play, he always seems to get some kind of an opportunity. So it's weird. Like, he doesn't jump in the play, and then the puck goes back the other way for a breakaway. So that's a talent. That's called hockey IQ.
Yep.
And, you know, he brings that to the table, and he brings that little sandpaper for what today's NHL is. He's a big, tough defenseman.
Yep.
And I'm not taking anything away from him because he is a tough guy, but he has to even dial it down sometimes just so he can play.
Yeah, you're right. But, you know, he's a guy that it seems like no matter what he does, good things happen. Like, I'm sure you guys played with guys like that. It's like, man, he's always in the right spot, always making good decisions. You're never after a game going, man, that wasn't the smartest move. He's that guy. I mean, he's just for lack of a better description, you just categorize him as a smart hockey player?
Yeah, I mean, he's come through the ranks. He played junior hockey in the Western League, which is a great junior league, and he came up, played in the American Hockey League, got to be, you know, one of the best players there. He elevated himself to the NHL. Very dependable guy. Now he keeps advancing his game every year. So
if you recall, back probably when they first started out, him and Bortuzzo were sort of on the even keel fighting for the same damn spot, you know. And so look where this now. This guy's become he might even be up to your number two spot here.
Oh, he is. I think he's no question.
He so he's even climbed that rank, and so that's just the not only the ability to play the game, but the confidence level that this man's running with right now.
Yeah, he brings a whole other element to that team,
He
makes Petro better. And Petro makes him better because they're so well suited for each other. You know, Petro likes to jump in a little more. They both handle the puck really well. I just think they're a really good defensive pair.
You know what? When you talk about Petro, because, you know, and I've been hard on him before because, you know, he does a lot of stuff and he's trying to create so much stuff. And sometimes when you're trying to create offense, it sort of backfires on you some games when shit ain't going your way. But if you put a guy out, that can get to your level of thinking. Like, and I'm not – so he's been playing with Bomeister for the longest time, Petro was. So now you're going to bring this young kid in here with all this confidence, and if they can start thinking on the same wavelength going, that's a whole new different animal you're running with.
Especially if you can play that – you know, if you can get it close to that 30 minutes a game. Yeah. I mean, I know that's a lot, but that's –
Well, hopefully you don't have to.
Yeah.
Because Parayko played like 25 and a half last night. Hopefully you've got Edmondson up around 25. Hopefully you got – Petro somewhere up around 25. It's heavy on the minutes, and that's probably because they were compensating for the new guy because he only got, like, what, 7 minutes? But if you can keep those three guys somewhere between 20 and 23 minutes a night, they're going to be energized.
Well, I mean, and that's another thing, too. I mean, you think about the new – I mean, with all the special team-type stuff that's going on, you know, the penalty kills, power plays. I mean, it's going to change the way the minutes are played.
Well, of course, and they play in every situation.
Sure.
That, you know what, though, let's go to that for 1 second, because how many penalties were guys going to stick check a fucking guy and he tripping him? You know, that's the new. I know that's the, but that's what they do. Because they're not going to finish their check, so we're gonna poke our fucking check.
Stick on puck. You know that can be your coaching
you
it
skate,
now.
Yeah, and you skate right over it, and boom, and then we're going. Yeah. Over. It's just
and stick on stick the and slashing,
then, and then vice versa. I'll go back and I watched Patty Maroon play last night. He was finishing a check. He was playing. He was skating good last night. He was finishing checks. And look, he looked good.
God, I thought he was going to put one home there in the third. Yeah. He wants it so bad.
He plays like that, though. That's a huge, when he finishing checks like he's doing right now. And
well, you notice the bullshit out there? Like, if Patty Maroon wasn't there, imagine, like, those scrums in front of the net.
Yeah.
Like, they used to elevate a little bit more, especially last year. I think of last year, guys to face wash guys and rip at them. And Patty's standing there now, and it's almost like, yeah, I don't know if I feel so friggin' brave right now. You know? Like,
that's good.
He's not a Bob Probert.
No.
You know, and for people who don't know, or for modern day fans or Blues fans, he's not a Ryan Reeves. Yeah. Okay. He's not going to rip your head off.
Correct.
But he's in that category quietly. But
he's a heavy load.
Yeah, he is. A big dude, and he's a really good fighter. He's a hell of a hockey player, and that's why I hate to emphasize on the fighting too much. But he does bring a nice.
Don't do that around here.
He's
please.
A calibrator, you know.
No, but if you start doing that fighting, these little guys hiding behind their keyboards are
going to
come out.
Oh, there we go. Yeah,
we've been popular lately, huh?
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to go any deeper than that because I think we've already given a little too much attention to that. But holy moly, it's kind of like
we're getting into the woods down there now, though. They're coming out of the woods on us.
Wow, it's weird, Jesus, you know. Christ. It's kind of like that ex girlfriend from like high school that like you broke up with her and she's never forgot it, and she's had your pictures on the wall for like 20 years and like just keeps going back to it. I'm like, guys, move on here. Holy fuck, find something better. Yeah. Like, holy crap.
You're only talking to three people, though. That's what it gets, you know.
Oh, well, that's anyways.
All right.
Like I said, given enough time on that one.
Let's make sure we get Bertha off the wall.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna have a little fun here. I mean, you know, we always have fun with some of the segments. I mean, we went through Jamie's piss, Jamie's happy, Jamie's tired, Jamie's hopped up on Red Bull. We got all kinds
this is
of
Jamie's
them,
ADD.
I got to tell you, though, I know this list you gave me, that this could also be Kimby's trigger words. I mean,
that's awesome.
There's no telling where this is going to go.
Well, he kind of looks like one of them.
All right, so. check us out, folks.
I don't get to see the paper, and I'm getting cut down.
BluesNHLPodcast.com. Check us out, folks. Subscribe to the show there. Do your shopping on Amazon. Help out Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, our producers. Don't forget to find us on social media at STL Blues Podcast. You're a Blues fan. We're going to follow you back. And, of course, you guys have answered the bell on Facebook. Type in BluesNHL Podcast. We release a show typically Mondays, Thursdays, although the schedule is going to change a little bit this year as we revolve around the 7-minute ranner over there, Kimby's real
star, the star of the show.
But when you guys see the show and it comes out and it's pinned, if you guys will like it, comment on it, and share it, we're going to be doing some contests this year, and the interns are pulling all the names of the people that do that, so you may be up for some awesome prizes. Okay, I'm just going to throw
a dart.
I'll just throw a dart.
Yeah,
I got to start with this one because this one irritates me to no end.
Sure.
The Carolina Hurricane celebration.
Oh,
what?
I love it.
What?
I love it.
Oh no.
Yep.
You're in big trouble.
You know why I love it?
Why?
Okay. First of all, I would have hated it had I never played in Europe. And this is a very, very true statement. When I went over to Europe, they do shit like this after the game. The team is out on the ice, and when I talk about fans. And people over here are going to take this the wrong way. You guys over here are not fans. I'm telling you, you are. But you should go to a game in Europe. It's off the charts. Especially like when I was in Russia, like that shit got real. Like they were like killing people in the stands. Like it was.
There was
Conor McGregor shit going on.
It was Conor. We'll get to that later.
I was going to say I see his name.
We'll get to that later. But
what's Conor McGregor doing?
But when
there?
I played in Switzerland, let's bring up Switzerland, okay? Because that's a really nice way. Everybody's Switzerland, right? Nice little peaceful country.
Oh yeah, neutral,
which they were. They never got in any big scraps, but the whole end zone behind your team net would be filled with your fans. And they had, like, bodies painted, faces painted, flags, drawings, you name it. They had all this crazy shit going on. And so the players, after a win, would line up, not at the far blue line like I'm seeing with this. That's a little far, but it's a good effort. But they'd line up at their blue line. And usually they had, you know, you have the hard hat award over here. Like, the Blues gave out the Bobby Plager gloves last night. Well, the players would kind of congregate quickly after the game and, you know, kind of tap the guy on the shoulder. And that guy would be the first one to lead the guys over to the super fans and, you know, start low, like with the hands down low, and they'd start to go, oh. And he'd get up close and go like, hey, hey. And it sounds crazy, but they're into it.
Yeah.
And that they stay, like, 4,000 people would stay after the game.
But that's, you know, and you know, here's where the difference goes there. First of all, you're describing basically a college fucking crowd, you know, because now you're talking about multimillionaires buying these seats in the damn arena that you're going to.
Well, so we're talking about millionaires. I'm talking about Switzerland.
I'm talking about the guys buying the seats. So how much?
But I'm telling you, I'm talking about Switzerland.
But that clientele,
there's some fucking money there, son.
But you know what I'm talking about, though, don't you?
There's a college crowd.
You see that at a college. Here's the thing that.
Yeah, but we're talking about North Carolina here. But we're talking about Raleigh, Durham, NASCAR, WWE.
Here's the thing that I don't understand about it, though. I do understand it, but the guy that coaches him, when I played for the Blues, I used to ride in his little Trans Am because I didn't have my car here at the time, and we'd ride to the rink, and this fucker was so intense, and the game plan was going on in his brain, and it was focus, and there was no, I couldn't even crack a fucking joke to Roddy at the time. I'm riding in the car beside him, and I go, and I like to goof around all the time, and I'm going, fuck, I can't even say a word to him. I don't want to throw him off his game and get him going somewhere else, so I was just taking that ride down there, And actually, Kelly Chase can even, because he was in there too. We couldn't say a word to the man.
Yeah.
But Roddy was so, and so Roddy's coaching Carolina now, which is great. I'm glad that he's there, and they're doing well. But to see him going through that, I wonder what he, well, he might, maybe he's eased up. Maybe,
but you know, here's the thing, Kimby. They have a different fan base down there, okay?
Well, if I'm not like, disagree with that.
It's a whole other animal.
Yeah, and you need to bring it to that area.
You need to bring it to something different. College football, NASCAR, WWE, these are the most successful things in that geographical area.
Yep.
So you've got to do something that the fans can kind of wrap their brains around.
That's the way it goes. It's all entertainment now.
Yep. You got some of the games that I referred to earlier in these podcasts was like 600-700 people for a preseason game in Carolina.
For sure.
Like, so now, even if you get the drunk-ass fans who want to go and party and tailgate, and then they stay after because, you know, Justin Williams might come over and hit the boards where I'm sitting.
Totally understand. Understand. I was trying to get to the head coach who I knew.
I know.
To where it is
the now. Hockey traditionalist says, oh, that's just craziness, right?
Yeah.
But when you look at other sports in other countries.
Oh, for sure.
And I would have thought this was ridiculous had I not lived it. It is fun, even as a player.
Yeah.
You go in there, and let's say you get the tap to do the whole little stupid thing, right? Fucking fans love it.
Yeah.
And they're lined up around the building afterwards to get an autograph or be at the bar and buy you a beer. Or, you know, like, I know things are different with this fan base and this league and all that, but they're going to buy jerseys. They're going to buy a whole lot more shit because they're into it.
Yeah.
They're going to create a name for those people in that area. And then guess what? They'll be sold out of those seats, guaranteed, before anything else, but at least they'll be sold out in one area.
For sure. No, I understand what you're saying.
So suck on that, Cromer.
That sucks. I don't want to hear it. Everything you just said is ain't more.
Well, that's
sport.
A baseball guy.
I don't.
When's the last time? How intense is a baseball crowd?
I don't care what it is.
Hey, I want to tell you. I want to tell you.
They clap.
He don't like it either. Hey, don't act so, like
baseball
you like.
Fans clap with oven mitts on.
Don't kiss your buddy's ass. Tell him how bad you think it is too.
Here's the hockey. Here's what I went through last weekend. So I was down in Nashville, and before we play our hockey game, the 05s. So they're 13-year-old kids. We're playing the championship game and. CarShield, the group that I'm with, they have a really good 05 team. And they're playing number 5 ranked Philadelphia team in the country. And so I'm watching this game, and it was intense. Like, these 13-year-olds were hitting people, like more hits than I've ever seen lately at a National Hockey League game or an older style game. And it was intense. And you know when you're really involved into hockey? When I listen out my left ear and the mums are just getting ready, they're going crazy. And kids are getting knocked on their ass and these mums are cussing and people are pulling phones out recording this shit. And I'm laughing my ass off and I'm going, God, I finally found a place where I got some old school hockey. But these mums.
Are you moving?
I don't know. I'm not moving. But I'm telling you, you hit little Johnny boy and you want to see mama get mad. Well, shit, they come. But it was a great hockey game. And I'm watching these little kids and I said, you know, they get it. They go there, and what the mom was just, they didn't want little Johnny to get hurt, but every time their kid would run someone else's fucking kid, they loved it. But when little Johnny got hit, now we're going again. East Coast fans, if you go to the Philadelphias and Boston's, their mentality runs a little different than the calm areas. They go a little crazy.
You guys, I agree. What with your boys all playing hockey, who runs that roost when it comes to hockey at your house? Does mama get a say? When it comes to hockey, is it all dad?
Mama doesn't even like hockey.
Mama believes they get a say. Remember, you've been married. So mama believes, you got to let her believe that.
Yeah, well, mine doesn't even try. Yeah. So it's easy. Yeah. She'll go to the game and she'll cheer. And loves her boys and loves when they win, but loves that they don't get hurt, and that's
it. But you got to use reverse psychology sometimes because, and Jamie will know this as well as I know this. When I talk to my kid, it's almost like he's looking at me like I'm a goddamn fool gone crazy here, like I'm talking to him. So then I got to say, okay, now I'll use reverse psychology because when usually he's getting shit from dad, he's cuddling up to mom. So then I'll run around a corner and I'll say, okay, maybe you better come at him from that side because he ain't listening to this side.
Yeah.
Hey, I can just see your wife going, hey, you better get your head out of your ass out there. I can just see that.
Oh, yeah. My boys would look at each other and start laughing because it's been she doesn't even know what offside is. So
and mine don't either.
Yeah, and so
yeah, that's what
they'd be like, yeah, mom, I should have got the puck deep there for sure.
Oh my goodness.
But then it makes the kid come back to you though, because he's going, well, I'm talking dumb hockey now. I gotta get back to the right
side. I'd rather not talk crazy shit, right?
I'm gonna go right above it and hit the next one. We're raising banners now that don't have anything to do with Stanley Cups or
participant.
Retirement.
Oh, them damn things.
We're giving out trophies now.
I took some heat for that. Not heat. I took a little bit of heat. People tried to, and even our good buddy Chris Mason, who's down in Nashville, which we got to get him on here one day. And when he comes to town, we got to make the trip down there and sit and talk with him for half hour and put him on here because he's just an awesome guy. And him and I have been through hell and back together, played the minors, played the NHL, Anyways, he obviously is a Nashville broadcaster.
Sure.
So he wasn't happy when I was like, oh, I guess we're just rewarding participants these days. And he took exception to it in a great way. Just like we would talk to each other. And it was on Twitter. So it's funny because everybody now has a chance to see two guys kind of go at it a little bit, not knowing that we're like best of friends. But his thing was like, well, it was a big moment for the organization. It's not. And he sends a picture of like the Red Wings. It was like 30 or 40 banners. And I'm like, yeah, almost like thank you because I was there for those. And we never had a ceremony unless there was a Stanley Cup attached to it.
They just hung the sumbitch up in between the offseason.
Yeah, like Al Sobotka, the guy who twirls the fucking octopus over his head, he like quietly at like midnight would go up and hang that banner. So now, in fairness, Detroit Red Wings, the original six hockey team, been around a long time. So unless it's a Stanley Cup banner, it's garbage. In Nashville, they're growing their fan base, and they have a hell of a fan base. As much as the Blues people don't like them, they have a hell of a fan base that support their team. And I guess that side of the argument, I get it a little bit because they're recognizing their team as steps towards maybe the bigger reward.
Did they all line up at fucking center ice?
Yeah, they did.
And jump on the fucking glass?
No.
they didn't do that. Did they do that in Europe though?
They do.
Oh,
they
do. Boy.
They do. They light flares. They smoke bombs. I'm telling you, it's some wacky shit, but it's fun.
Okay, next. You've got Gritty.
Gritty.
Oh,
come on. Speaking of Gritty here, it's my co-host over here, Gritty.
I mean, where are we going?
What kind
this?
Of crazy son of a bitch thought that man up right there?
Gritty looks like he comes from Lucky Lake.
Oh, God.
I'll tell you that,
kicked the shit out of Gritty in Lucky Lake.
Gritty looks like he's been in a fucking tree stand in Lucky Lake for about 3 years.
I'll go with you there.
You know what? The first day Gritty came out, I was laughing my ass off. I mean, I laughed so hard, I thought, this is so horrendous. But then as the day went on and it got more attention, I started to think, you know what? And be like, what the hell is Gritty? What is a Gritty? What the hell? You know, he looks like he's on crack. Well, yeah, he kind of does. But what sense did a San Diego chicken make? What sense did that make? Then the San Diego chicken later on was making appearances at other sporting events.
At least a kid under 5 years old ain't scared of fucking a chicken. Now the fucking
Gritty
guy.
Well, you
got to
be careful how you say that. You can't say fucking a chicken. Okay.
You know what I meant. So was, greedy, you scare the hell out of them.
Was the purpose,
I agree.
Was
I,
the purpose of this mascot to be as wild as possible?
Well, you gotta understand the Philly fans, right?
Like
you'll understand understand you've seen it on TV. Maybe you've been to a game in Philly. I don't know.
It's
Santa Claus
atmosphere.
Took a beating one time with snowballs.
Snowballs, yeah.
Okay. And then I remember playing in the Spectrum.
Yeah,
the Philly Spectrum, have you ever seen Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome?
Oh, the Spectrum was the place.
People could reach over the glass and grab you. Like, because it was that low
glass would shake in.
And they would throw shit on. I remember there was a whole section they handed out something that had batteries in it that night.
And you know what the worst thing about
that
And
they
that
threw
team?
The batteries at the visiting team.
You know what the worst thing about that, too? They start the fucking game off with Kate Smith singing the God Bless America or whatever. This was this sweet old lady on there singing this song. And then all of a sudden, who comes out? Berube Brown. I'm like, oh, yeah, here we go.
Eddie Hospodar.
Change that goddamn game up real quick.
But in all seriousness, like going into the Spectrum and going into Philadelphia as a whole is kind of like entering, you know, the Thunderdome or the Roman Colosseum back in the day. Sure. And so Gritty reminds me of those fans that sit way up near the top of the roof, drink way too much before they get to the game.
Which is a good thing.
And drink way too much while they're there and then throw batteries at the visiting team.
Hey, how tough was Dave Brown?
Oh, yeah, he's tough. Yeah, you know what? In my ear, like, I catch him. He's already been in the league when I get there. But when I got there, you know, you got Probert. When Twister was his second tour in St. Louis, you know, I think he's – and Dave Brown, there's your three guys in my era. Now, Ben Wilson comes a little bit before George LaRocque, and that was later on. So you sort of – you know, but Dave Brown was in – he was your top three guy, I have to think. I don't,
yeah.
Like, you got to be there.
Brownie had – like, the thing with Dave Brown is he had a little bit of a twitch, you know, and he still does, but – He would look at guys on the ice and he'd have this twitch and be like talking. You're like, this crazy son of a bitch. I am not going near this guy because he ain't gonna stop.
And
like
he talks to you, he's got a little squeaky voice.
Yeah,
too,
he does.
So you don't even know that's coming. But yeah, and then you do. I've even said this before. And like Stu Grimson, he had the same thing happen to him. But I fought him in Quebec and I did really well with him in the first fight. You know, I caught him under the
eye. That's a mistake.
And he falls down and then Jesus Christ, and here it come the next time out in the ice with him and he was just coming all guns a blazing and. But I'm too stupid to fall down. I stay there and take it. But, you know, the man would just, if you beat him once, look the hell up. And, you know, there's guys like Jay Miller. He would fight that motherfucker 13 times. Or, you know, these fucking guys would just keep coming.
How about Jim Kite?
Jim Kite, yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Good night, Jim Kite was born with Dave Brown.
Yep.
You said the other night when you were on with Cam Jansen, you said something that I thought was interesting, and I know obviously the
I could just imagine that fucking conversation.
a couple of intellects there. the guy to my right here I know is very good friends, obviously, with Tony Twist, but you had said that the thing, you had fought him a bunch and fought all
the most
guys.
Of anybody else I've ever seen. I know for a fact it's the most. Aaron Kimball has fought Twister the most.
That the one thing that was different was he it's almost like there was a respect thing with the other guys, and you'd fight and you'd take your beating or whatever, but he'd try to hurt you.
Yeah.
That was the difference, is what he said.
Him and Joey Kosher were the, you know, you don't, and Dave Brown comes slow, you know, he's right behind him. He didn't quite as throw as, but he was so long armed and was coming from a longer way back.
And a left.
Yeah. And Twister would, you know, and Twister was even more, like Joey would throw it. It was a shorter punch that Joey would throw. Twister would wind up from fucking back in Saskatoon all the way here to St. Louis, you know, but that's what the power that was coming. So, and when he would hit you, it would. I took the punch a lot of times. You know, I had a hard head, I guess.
You got a head that looks like it could take a punch. Yeah,
the only head that matches the size of Twister's fist.
I was gonna say once.
So,
yeah.
But when you're fighting, if you've ever been in one, and you know you used to fight them all the time, when you're going through the process, you're not. You know, you don't really real. I knew how hard he threw, but it wasn't really. When you're in the moment, you're not feeling it. You feel it after, but you don't feel it at the moment unless he really gets you, you know.
Then you don't feel anything.
Then you don't feel nothing. But you see the man. He hurts some people. And Joey was the same way, but there was so much power in their punch.
I got a question for you, okay? And I probably never asked you this. I've talked to Twister 1,000 times about different things and whatnot, but what's the feeling like? Because I know the feeling that I had playing against some of the guys like Ty Domi, Rick Tocchet, that, you know, that weight category that I had to keep my head up for. What's the feeling for a guy like you when you see video or you hear of, like, Tony Twist caving the side of someone's face? Mm-hmm. And now you've got that game coming in 2 days. Mm-hmm. Like, really, like, I want to go inside your head on this one here, because I don't know if our listeners would know exactly what that feels like. No, just, I don't even know.
When you're going, and it was Proby was right there with it all, you know, and you know how people, back when we were going, though, you really didn't have video like it's going now. You knew if a guy threw
probably
a right,
better you didn't.
Yeah, you knew a guy threw a right hand or a guy who was left hand. You knew what the game was. The build up to it all, and you could probably ask. They probably all have to say the same thing. It was the freaking out you had to do to get to that point. Once you were there, and actually the competition was going on, or the fight was going on, whatever you want to call it. Once you were in it, you were good. Getting to that point and how, because you had it played out in your mind how it was going to start, and if something fucking teeters off for a second and goes haywire,
everybody has a plan, right?
You know, and you go to, and when you go to fight Twister or Probert, because the Twister wouldn't be thinking that way because he wasn't as tall, but his fucking arms are so long, and he'd go in there and he was so strong and he could string you out, and if you got caught there, you know you're in a lot of trouble. And so it was getting to the point when I could get into the point and you're throwing punches, that wasn't bothering me at all. I was okay when I was there, but it was just, you'd have to be I ain't shitting you, man. You'd stay up at night sometimes thinking about what was going to go on. And it was going through your head. And the biggest part was, and it's like a guy that, you know, I'll compare it, and it's two different aspects, but like a goal scorer. If he hasn't scored for five or six games, you know, because you're doing it in front of so many people. And nowadays you're doing it in front of a lot more, because we were just doing it in front of our fans at that point. But there's 20,000 people there.
And YouTube.
Your fucking ego. To get to that, to get to the National Hockey League, you have to understand, you have to have a fucking big time ego, because you had to have confidence to get to that point, and an ego in the right way. Hopefully, if people understand what I'm saying there. But you needed to have an ego
swagger.
Yeah, you had to think you were something else to get there. And then once you get there, you're sure the hell don't want to get your ass handed to you in front of 20,000 people, because now it's going to take some time to build that back up. And you know, it sort of goes like a goal scorer has to, you know.
Well, when you got traded to St. Louis, I know you and I've talked about this, like once we started drinking some beers together and stuff like this, but you didn't have all this where you could just go Google somebody.
Yep.
And the clip they played over and over and over again on all the stations when you got traded was the punch you threw on Troy Crowder.
Yep.
And I mean, he just crumbled. So everybody right away was like, "Oh my God, we got this!" Yeah, and we had, didn't we? And we had Kelly Chase too at the same time. So
Chase was in the minors at the time.
Well, we were gonna have both you guys or whatever, and that was all the big thing, and then. It's funny because you know the crowd I ran around with, and we were at all the games and sneaking beer in, and then you guys would go to Humphreys,
Wednesday night,
yeah, Humphreys. and your very first night here, you come rolling into Humphreys with Brett, and I can't remember who else you guys were with. It was a third guy, but you basically just stood behind the bar the whole night and just drank beer. I mean, like,
well, who the hell was going to tell him to go anywhere else?
But it was,
Jesus Christ.
But then, you know, you wind up meeting Missy, and then you stay here, and we become friends and golf and drinking
acquaintances.
Beer. But it was funny, though, to talk to you about it because, you know, you had said that, you know, that you understood the different fights and how they would remember you and do all this kind of stuff. But was that your moment, like knocking out Troy Crowder? Because that was a good one.
That put me on the stage.
That put you on the map for sure.
There's a few guys, because Mark LaForge was sitting there coming out of junior being a nutcase.
Good Sudbury boy.
Yeah. And
He was a nutcase.
I fought him, and he had blood all over the place. So I did really well against him. But there's times, like, you know, you look at – when Kosher or Twister screws up Ray's face, you know, and does that, you know, those are ones that sort of stick in
there. I was right there for that, too, front row.
Joey, the Jim Kite thing on Dave Brown, or I think Jim Kite and I think Kosher pops the hearing aid out, doesn't he?
Yeah, Kosher almost hits him so hard he starts to hear again.
You know, those things are those are going to make – when we were growing up in our time, because there wasn't a lot of TV around – going on Grapes is Don Cherry's
Grapevine.
Yeah, not going on that show, but Rock'em Sock'em, the videos he had, Go Up Nuts thing. You know, to make that, if you were a fighter back in the day, to make one of his things, that pretty well, because everyone in Canada, I know, it was real big back then.
Sure.
Because Grapes is huge in Canada.
Right.
So when he'd come up with that, and I think I made his third or fourth one on there, when I pop on there and I make it. But then that's when people can, because back in the day, that's what they were watching.
They start paying attention to you. Well, that's good stuff.
All right, let's get back to the list.
I was going to say, if we're going to talk about nutty scraps, let's just go right to Conor McGregor.
Okay, first of all, I'm not even going to spend any time talking about the fight because...
Screw the fight.
The fight was actually the most boring part of the whole process. And it was a good fight. I mean, nothing wrong with it. And Conor McGregor is... Here's the problem, right? You're a wrestler or a grappler always has the puncher's chance, right? Like, he always has a chance to knock a guy out, whereas a puncher doesn't have that wrestler's chance of taking a guy down and submitting him. He just doesn't have that, right? It doesn't work in reverse. So it's such a mismatch, because if they were forced to stand up and throw knuckles, you'd bet money on McGregor 9 times out of 10, okay? But when they're not forced to stand there and throw knuckles, and they're allowed to go to the ground and wrestle and do all that other shit, it doesn't matter how good of a puncher you are. If you're on your ass and you can't get punches off, you don't win. So to me, that was, you know, kind of a foregone conclusion. What I was wanting to talk about was the aftermath, right?
Awesome.
Okay, well, it's great for publicity, but here's where I go with it.
I'm coming back with something on you then.
No, that's fine, but here's where I go with it. The people who pay astronomical amounts of money to sit in that front row.
Yep.
Women, not children, because most children aren't at these events. No. So women, wealthy people, dressed nice, chance to be on TV, all the big shots are in that front row. You know it.
Yep.
And this donkey goes jumping off the top of the cage like fucking Coco Beware back in the day in the WWF and foot stomps somebody. We don't know who. Yeah. Like, no way your aim is that good, because you're like never done it before. So you're like, holy shit, I'm just going to foot stomp. Oh shit, wrong guy. And then punches are flying, elbows are flying, shit's happening. Guys are fucking beating guys with shoes and bottles, and water bottles are being thrown. So the problem I have with that is the obvious. It's just like, if you were fighting Tony Twist, okay, Kimby?
Yep.
And you guys decided not to take it off the ice, because that shit happened. Nobody was harmed there.
Yeah.
If you guys decided to take it into section 103, right in the middle, and just throw down, how safe is that?
No,
like that's the stupidity behind it.
Here's where I'm going to go, and this is the only reason, because back in my younger day, you know, I fought in a bar a lot. I was bar fighting and doing all this shit. So here's what I loved about it, and I always related this to David Allen Kosong. Some loudmouth in the back is getting to me. So some guy was that he's singing, you know, some guys, you know, heckling them or whatever. So I'm thinking here, this guy's fighting Conor McGregor, and you know, you go to these, you watch these weigh-ins or whatever they do, and these. You know, they hype it up with all the hype, and the guy's going to fight. Well, there's these little shit bums in the back that are chirping.
Part of their camp.
Yeah, part of their camp, or start chirping, you know, to try to get underneath. So I'm sitting here. Obviously, Conor McGregor guy had a shit bum out there that was, and that's where this guy was going, because he wanted to get to this guy. So he fucking jumps the goddamn thing. He goes after him. Now, the really good thing about it is, and here comes this, because I have a buddy back home that would do this stuff. He was in my wedding party, actually, Trevor's name. This guy's going over, so all the commotion's going over here. So Trevor would run around, he'd jump up in the fucking ring and go sucker Conor McGregor.
Oh, God. That guy. Now, listen, as much as I have a problem with all the other shit outside of the ring, and I will say this very honestly, and I've been in a couple of bar altercations, we'll call them, and every time I was in a bar altercation, if one of my buddies got in a fight, guess what I did? Put my back to a wall and was ready to rumble, because somebody's coming out of the woodwork.
Oh, for sure.
Somebody knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody that you've pissed off now because you're fighting his buddy.
Yeah.
So McGregor's sitting there just staring away in the middle of the ring. Like, what is he thinking? He has to think at this point, like, the Russians are coming, right? And
oh, yeah.
So he stands there and gets punched twice, which it's not right. That shouldn't happen. You shouldn't sucker punch somebody. I'm not condoning that at all. But when shit hits the fan, you have to know how to react.
But he knows better than that, because
he should.
If you ever watch a little story about him, they have a thing. He come up in a tough goddamn area.
He did, 100%. So shame on him for not recognizing the situation.
Yeah, you got dumbfounded on that one.
And he got popped twice, and then another guy comes after him.
Yeah, but at that juncture, he's pretty well wiped.
And I'm a Conor McGregor fan. I love the smack talking. I love the way they go through the process, because you know what? I've always been a person, if you're going to fucking shoot your mouth off, make sure you back it up. And Conor McGregor backs his stuff up.
100%.
And he always does that. So it's not like he's a little weasel doing it and then he's going to go run and hide.
Right.
He's going to back his shit up. And I like that.
No, I love the guy, okay? Obviously, with you know, my background, I don't know if you guys are aware, but my grandfather, my mom's side, came from Belfast, Ireland. Now, his mistake, he came over and knocked up a Native American woman. But
yeah, you're quite an individual. Yeah. You've got a lot of Ancestry.com.
Whiskey and I don't get along
with you.
But here's where I'm headed with this, and this is what I wanted to highlight on it. In Russia, and people can YouTube this, and I hope they do, I don't know exactly what it's called, but it's basically team fighting. They have the Russian sport.
Jono has watched this before.
Okay,
you know, he loves this.
It's
kind
like
of stuff,
three on three. And they blow the air horn, and it's a brawl. And it's like, I'm not shitting you, Kimby. They run at each other, and if you get knocked out or submitted, now it's 3-on-2.
Yeah.
And they shit kick somebody, right?
Do they pull the guy that gets knocked out of the way, or is he still viable?
No, he's got to go. He's got to go.
They're not putting cones around him.
They spray paint.
When you sit there and you're down to 3-on-1, the other guy, he wasn't ever kicked.
No, they literally drag him out of the fucking ring. So
great.
This is the best part, though. Why wouldn't now, right? Like, because this has become more than Khabib and McGregor.
Yeah.
This is like camp versus camp. Why don't you be like, hey, you get your three best guys. Yeah. I get my three best guys, and we have Adder here.
Yeah.
Yep.
We'll have the fight in Russia because we know goddamn well they'll sanction it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, McGregor might have to bring about 400 security guards over
there.
He's
going to fight that guy, Will. Yeah,
in Russia.
Absolutely. That's
but,
awesome.
Right? Like,
this ain't Rocky IV here.
That would be great because, you know, Khabib has like two guys on his team, his camp or whatever, that are UFC fighters.
Yep.
And Connor has that Artem Lobov. He's a UFC fighter. He's the guy that caused the whole shit with the fucking dolly through the bus window and all that. All this
shit disturber.
Yeah. But he's a
class A.
But he's a fighter. He's a real fighter. So you could get 3-on-3. That'd be a hell of an event.
Bring in
Floyd Mayweather too.
Yes. The two things that really I liked about that, the thing after what we just talked about, but when Connor gets goddamn jolted with a right hand, I think in the second round he gets hit.
Yeah, he does.
And boy, and he gets wobbled back, but he stays in the ball game. And that I'll tell you, he got cold cocked.
He did. But that's what I said earlier. Like the wrestler has a puncher's chance.
For sure.
Every now and then, just like throw one, and if it hits, it hits. Right.
If you could ask anybody, a bigger guy, if they like to stand back and fight. The worst kind of guy that you want to fight is a guy that can wrestle because it's because they're coming in tight and then now your game's taken away from
you. And they're throwing punches that are unorthodox.
Correct.
Because when you're a boxer or a fighter like that, you're anticipating certain hand motions.
For sure. Yep.
And you get a guy who's unorthodox, you don't know where it's coming from.
For sure.
And then if he hits you with power, you're like, where the hell did that come from?
Yep.
So anyways, we can move on, but that was my spiel. Yeah. And I'm going to promote it on here and everybody can retweet it and talk about
That's awesome.
Group fight, team fighting in Russia, Team McGregor versus Team Khabib.
I'll pull that up myself. I want to see that myself.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm going to bring up Austin Watson. And
let's get to Brady Kachuk.
You
want to
do Brady Kachuk?
Yeah, because Austin Watson, I'm not very happy with that one. So,
well, neither's Kimball.
But Brady Kachuk, how about a little tip of the hat to that young man?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He gets in the game, I think his first one in Ottawa. He gets a typical Kachuk goal for his first NHL goal. Off the skate and in, but he's going to the net. And then the second one was a beauty. He comes in and little shimmy shake, gets to the middle, quick release. He had a hell of a debut. And here's where I wanted to go with this, and I don't know if you guys are following that. The night he scored, I put a congratulations out on Twitter.
Yep.
Congrats to Brady Kachuk, blah, blah, blah. Some asshole piggybacks
those guys out there.
Piggybacks that. And says, well, if you had the financial resources that he had, you'd be great too.
That's the dumbest. The dumb shit that's went on lately, that's the dumbest tweet of dumb tweet of the week.
Then Donald Trump would be Wayne Gretzky. Right?
Exactly.
And I'm not getting political. I'm just talking money here.
Yeah.
Mark Cuban. Yeah, we'll bring up Mark Cuban just so we don't fucking get into it here.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, every rich kid would be in the NHL.
Yep.
And I didn't comment on it. I wrote back something about, I'm not even going to talk about that. On a night like tonight, I want to talk about congratulations to Brady Kachuk because he's a hell of a hockey player, works his nuts off. But what an asinine comment.
They're out there everywhere, man.
I just don't get that shit. Like, people want to start a Twitter fight or whatever they want to do. Like, there's a time and a place for it, man. Like, not after you congratulate a kid on his first NHL appearance. And you know the kid's going to see it. I tagged him in it. You know that. His parents are going to see it because his mom's on Twitter and all. Like, why don't you just be like, you know what? Yeah. Kudos, the kid went and got into a scrap at the end of the game. He went after that Lawton kid.
Didn't he get the Gordie Howard? Did he come up short?
He came up short. Yeah. They gave him 4 minutes for roughing because the other guy didn't drop his gloves. But Brady was right. Like, what do you think of that? 18-year-old kid So anyways, I just wanted to touch on that because that kid deserves a moment here of congratulations. He's worked his nuts off, him and his brother and the sister, Taryn Tkachuk. She's an incredible field hockey player.
That's what they say.
And she works really hard too. So credit deserves to be given to that entire family.
Well, I'm going to say something that you brought up in the bottom line is anybody that's, and again, if you want to use that term, it's a normal person and doesn't have a father that's a former professional. There's so many of them that go the other way, as you brought up. Like, hey, my dad's this, or my mom's this, or we've got
100%.
I'm going to cut corners. I'm going to do this, and that's
easier to be a screw off.
That's right, and that just goes to show you. And that's really at the end of the day, nobody's being a jerk here between you two guys. That at the end of the day is the thing that people don't understand how hard it really is. And I hate to say that. Because, again, it's sounding like, okay, once again, we didn't play NHL. That has nothing to do with this.
This has nothing to do with anything. This has
so amazingly hard. Like, and Kenby brought it up earlier. It's the mental stuff. It's all the stuff you got to go through. I'm telling you, that's dumb tweet of the week. We're going to have to start with all the shit that's going on around here.
We should have the dumb tweet of the week.
Dumb tweet of the week.
But
we'll have to come up with a better name for it than that.
No, it's perfect, actually.
We'll come up with something.
But the argument then to be had, if we're not going to talk about, oh, yeah, we never played this and that and the other. Okay, then every rich kid should be an unbelievable golfer then.
It takes a lot of heart and a lot of balls to play this
ball. To anything.
You know,
to be a baseball, football, you name it. Anything at the top of the food chain that you can get to. In some capacity, even if it's a business owner or inventing something, it takes hard work along the way.
Hey, real quick before you run away.
We're not running away. You got one more.
Before you go to that one way, how about the character up in Toronto? How about that guy?
Which one?
Austin, the Matthews boy. Isn't that something?
Which one? You got Marner, Matthews, Tavares, and Riley.
Nine goals in five games. I think they played five, maybe. But Jesus, he's on.
How about Morgan Riley?
Yeah.
He's ahead of Bobby Orr now.
Yeah.
For fastest fucking 12 points in five games or something?
That team going up there, they say, is just I haven't got a chance to watch him play yet. I'm just going by what I hear in the news and the stats and all that. But the numbers they're throwing around here right now, and yay.
This keeps up that William Nylander is going to have to sign for league minimum just to get on the team.
True that.
Well, let's
all right, bring on the last one before we get into
it. Yeah, here we go. Are we going to get a seven-minute rant out of this one?
No.
I don't know that we have 7 minutes. Austin Watson.
Yeah, what a joke. Kimmy, what do you think of that?
Well, I tweeted it out, too. And I wasn't trying to – the one thing that the domestic abuse that you're talking – you never make fun of that nonsense, and I'm not.
No, I know you're not.
I was trying to compare it in hockey terms, but you can't lessen that. God dang, the guy – you know, you shouldn't even – your fight – I don't know, some – that Sarah comes on there and says something. I don't know who decided if they went to arbitration and they decided that. If they did, the guy's a fool.
It was an appeal.
That. Yeah.
Right? And so here's the process. Is he got that, the NHLPA must have filed a grievance on him quietly.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want the publicity either.
Yeah.
Because it's horrible publicity. But here's my issue with it, okay? We've got Tom Wilson that we know now. We've been in this bullshit for since he's been suspended, 20 games. We've got Nate Schmidt. 20 games, or what did he get? Schmidt, 20 games or 27 games or something?
Yeah. Something like that, yep.
Okay, for what the doctor said was like a grain of salt in a swimming pool for what they found for performance-enhancing drugs, PEDs, okay? He got 20-plus.
Yep.
We have a guy now who roughed up a girl, a woman, and he's getting a lightened sentence. Like, what are we fucking doing here? What are we doing? Tom Wilson hit Oscar Sundquist. It sucked. He got hurt, but it was man on man, and it was in the game. Yep. Nate Schmidt, he took a substance that he had no idea about. It's obviously, like I said, speck of salt, so it was nothing major. Those two guys get 20 games plus, and Austin Watson decides to man up at a gas station with his wife.
Yeah,
man up. That's what... I'm being facetious with that comment. But he decides to step up and shove her or whatever the fuck he did, and he's got 18 games now.
See, where I have a problem with it, I don't know the Watson, I don't know what to,
doesn't matter what the story is, Kim. Think about it.
But if that's what he's done,
people saw him do it.
To have him even come in the locker room, you're going to have a problem. I got a problem with it right off the get-go. I'm probably at his house the next day saying, I think we're going to talk about this.
But, like, what is wrong
here? The NHL and that, to even get involved with this, you know, is this just wrong? You just even, I would add it to the goddamn thing. You know,
what, I would have said,
what
personally,
possible reason could there be to bring it down?
I don't know. But oh, well, he didn't like shove her hard enough?
Yeah.
Counseling or something, this way we
but
play
so
this
what,
fucking process?
I'm sorry, I have absolutely...
Chicken shit movement.
Yeah, chicken shit beyond. Yeah. And I have no respect for it.
Nope.
Personally, I would have traded him.
Yeah.
And that may still happen because the Predators seem to be running a good organization down there. You look at a guy like Slava Voynov. Yep. He wanted to come back to the NHL. Made it publicly known because he was, you know, he's a hell of a hockey player. But he beat the shit out of his girlfriend at the time. And what happened here? NHL GM said, no thanks.
Exactly, and that's the way it should be done.
No thanks. But no, we're going to give Austin Watson 18 games.
Yeah, that's terrible. Terrible.
I can't fucking believe it. If he comes back and he plays in Nashville, like, that's a black mark on the organization.
I agree.
I just don't. Ugh.
Do you, I mean, what a predicament he puts the organization and his teammates.
Well, he's supposed to be some kind of a fucking tough guy, too. You see him every scrum. He's like, fucking, bah, 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 bah. Oh, you're a tough guy, eh? You fucking hit girls.
Yep.
Let's be honest here. You're not a tough guy. You're a chicken shit.
But this, you know, back in the day, though.
Sorry, Crumbs.
No, you're right.
I'm not going back in the day. I'm just saying, when I played, I never heard of that shit going on. We didn't hear
about it, but it was going on.
Yeah,
it was going on at times. I don't remember specific incidents.
It's chicken shit, man.
It's just awful.
And if you're running a big, corporation like you're big, you're running the, you know. And I've watched the NFL go through stuff like that, and I disagree with a lot of the shit they do on it, you know, because that's just not right. Like, if you're doing something to yourself, like whether it be drugs or whether it be whatever you're doing, that's a different animal because you're doing that to yourself. But when you go down that avenue, that's just something that's God, that's terrible.
Yeah, I just can't. I can't stomach it when it comes to women and children.
You're right.
You know, and these guys who are so called supposed to be tough guys, really tough, really tough.
I agree.
Well, good stuff today, guys. I'm sure there's a lot of fodder.
We had a splash of Jamie's ADD on this one, so sorry if we got derailed.
Place.
But these are things I wanted to talk about.
Good stuff. No, the guy behind us is probably wondering what the hell is going on.
We try to do Dr. Phil sometimes in here.
How's that working out for you?
Hey, that'd be great.
How's that working out for you?
He'd leave. He'd just tap out and be like, we're fucking done here.
That might be a good segment. How's that working out for you?
How's that working out for you?
Hey, good stuff to both you guys. I know our listeners appreciate it. Again, want to thank everybody for joining us this week on Blues NHL Podcast. Special thanks, as always, goes out to the Nelson family, nelsonlandservices.com. You've seen their handiwork down in the Ozarks. They're now up here and, well, over here, I guess. It's kind of up and over. St. Louis, Missouri, here to help you with all of your needs. Check them out. They're a 5-star rated company with very reasonable prices. And again, just a great traditional hockey family. You know, you heard from their son who's at McKendree playing for Coach Henson. Again, just a quality program there that Coach is running. Their son was able to take advantage of his hockey at a local college now that's putting together an awful good program to allow some of the better hockey players an opportunity to stay home and play if they'd like. So, again, the Nelson family was able to do that. I know Kimby, he was saying he's going to miss you a little bit this year, but every blue moon he may see at the same destination. You guys can have your drinks or your cocktails, as you like to call
water,
them.
Water.
Yeah, and then Mama Nelson, of course, will be running the show, as you always say. But, again, just a great family. Check them out, nelsonlandservices.com. To our friends at Adam Smokehouse, who bring you the Live from Inner Arena segment, thank you for your continued support. We want to remind you to check out their barbecue. It's the best barbecue in St. Louis, to be quite frank. Again, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they're open till 7. You can get it on your way home. They're now delivering. You can check that out and see if you're in their delivery area. But when the weather turns like this, nothing like some good barbecue to fill the tummy, let me tell you. And it's good stuff. And tell Mike we said hello. InnovativeCompanies.com, again, Randy Green, 35 years, as I mentioned on the other show. He's been with us almost a year now, so it's probably 36 years of experience, second-generation craftsman. And as we like to say on this show, a man of his word. If he shakes your hand, looks you in the eye, it's going to get done. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. All four companies under that one umbrella. Construction, heating and cooling, electric, and now the plumbing team up and running. Don't forget to check us out at BluesNHLPodcast.com. Subscribe to the show. Do your shopping on Amazon. Let's go Blues. Jump on it a little bit if you want. We like to say that at the end of every show, but to all of our social media people out there that allow us to be part of their community, thank you for bringing us in. That's what's going on down on Facebook. Blues NHL Podcast, like our page, invite your friends to like it. When you see that pinned post, remember to like it, comment on it, and share it, and you'll be eligible for some of the great prizes. At STL Blues Podcast on Twitter, if you follow us and you're a Blues fan, we're going to follow you back. We're curious what you have to say. One last time, Lineup Media Group, thank you for your continued support. We're proud to be part of such a growing network, now home to the streaming platform Yo Radio. You're going to want to download it on your mobile device. It's free. Version 2 just came out, really functional. You guys are going to enjoy it. Good stuff there as well. For both my co-hosts, this is Blues NHL Podcast. Let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.